welcome to the Unlearn Arts podcast. My name is Nico, and I hope I can teach you something new. Going through school, I enjoyed art class, but the topics we covered were very well known already. So when I later learned about calligraphy and the concept of making visual art from written words, I was intrigued and wondered why this art form was never taught about in school. Every major historical written language at some point developed what is today called calligraphy. And to learn more about calligraphy in the Arabic world, I was speaking to someone much more qualified than I am. Razwan Ulhaq, a QEST scholar from Lancashire who's had his calligraphy featured in The Times, the BBC, USA Today, and has been commissioned by Leeds Art Gallery and the Tour de France. Welcome, Razwan. Thank you for joining me today.
Thank you. It's great to be with you there, Nico. And you're absolutely quite right, actually. Calligraphy isn't taught in a lot of schools anymore.
Briefly to start off with, could you explain to us what calligraphy is?
Right, so calligraphy means beautiful writing. So it's derived from a Greek word. Kallig means sort of beautiful, and graphy, the latter part of the word, comes from it means writing. So it means beautiful writing. And I think what we're looking at is to create a sense of proportion. If we look back to maybe the days before the computer, and maybe also when the world had sort of different ways of looking at life, you know, they wanted to create a script that was harmonious. So, for example, when you're outside and you're sitting and you're looking at forests, or you're looking at the stars, or you're looking at the river, you know, everything has its proportion. You know, everything is in due proportion, whether it's animals, whether it's stars, whether it's the human body. And I think for thousands of years, I think when humans did their writing, they tried to blend that proportion on sort of sort of a table or whatever, the material they were writing on, whether it was sort of vellum, leather, or stone, or more recently, sort of paper.
And how did calligraphy develop in the Arabic world? How did it evolve?
In the Arabic world, the calligraphy really developed with the advent of Prophet Muhammad, peace. So that's really important to understand that. Before Prophet Muhammad, about it would be peace, Arabic was really not well known, outside the Arabian Peninsula. And even within the Arabian Peninsula, it was not the written Arabic that was important. It was the oral Arabic. They were really, really very much into poetry and reciting poetry, and there was oral culture. But after the Quran, the revelation of the Quran, then Muslims began to write Arabic. And then suddenly you had also what's known as the Golden Period, where you had Muslim scholars, you had scientists, you had mathematicians, and you had a whole host of writings from ophthalmology, sort of, from looking at the eyes, from looking at stars, many medicinal tracts, books on technology. And when I'm talking about technology, I'm talking about sort of very rudimentary machines, for example. And so there was a lot of writing. But I think there were some very important people. The first one was from the 9th century, Ibn Mukhlar. And Ibn Mukhlar was what we call nowadays a prime minister. So it's really interesting that in those days, a prime minister who was operating out of Baghdad, sort of modern-day Iraq, he wasn't just dealing with the affairs of the state, but he also invented a new system of writing Arabic calligraphy using dots. They were using sort of bamboo pens at that time and making their own inks. So there's lots and lots of tracks about lots of different things. after Ibn Bukhari's calligraphy changed, calligraphy became very, very cursive. And then we go to the sort of 15th century, and we go to Iran, and you had Ibn Tabriz. He developed the Stalik script, which is used in so many different countries like Iran, Pakistan, India, the Chinese Muslim section, the Hui people, for instance, use that in that some of the Soviet states like Kazakhstan, Uzbekistan, and the Stalik also at least used in the wider Arabic world as well. And then finally, we look at someone called Hafiz Osman. He's from the sort of 17th century Turkey, but there were notable women calligraphers as well. So, for example, in the 11th century, you had someone called Fatima Shora, and so many different calligraphers who actually did so much. Fakhruddin Nisa Shuhada, for example, as well. So there were all of these different calligraphers who made developments and who changed the way calligraphy looked or did some they changed the materials, for example, or the pens, and made significant developments. And it develops over a course of time. So, for example, in the sixth, seventh centuries, people are more concerned about how the message is, the meaning is. And then it sort of develops, and then there's a harmony between the meaning and the writing develops further, and then there's a mathematical harmony that Ibn Bukhari created. There are also many sayings that calligraphers have passed down to us, and calligraphers have tried to write about what they've learned about life, for example, when they are doing their calligraphy, or their own adventures, their sort of difficulties, their biographies, and also calligraphy is used metaphorically as well. Many letters and words are used metaphorically. I think it's also important to mention that calligraphy has a spiritual dimension, and so when many Arab calligraphers talk about letters or words, they are sometimes and often evoking a different world.
Right, so it's very much tied to the religious aspect as well.
Yeah, absolutely, because if you think about how calligraphy grew up in the Arab world, it grew up through the holy book, the Quran. And so from that, Arabic calligraphy still retains many aspects of that. So, for example, when you're looking at very early Arabic calligraphy, it's the Kufic script, and the Kufic script was a very majestic, powerful sort of script, and you can tell how that script was sort of manifested from the very, very sacred word. You can actually sense the sacredness of the script.
Cool, very interesting. And so what interests you about the calligrapher?
Well, for me, calligraphy has many dimensions. We've talked about the very important dimension of the spiritual dimension, but it has historic dimensions, aesthetic dimensions, scholarly dimensions, devotional aspects. For me, I think personally, what interests me is to create a new world, worlds so not necessarily that I'm sort of creating a picture like the one you see behind me, for example, which is created from words, but also you feel that you yourself are actually in with the calligraphy there. You do feel as if you are creating that has certain tangible some tangible manifestations on display of the universe that we live in. So I think for me, calligraphy is the excitement of calligraphy is related to that aspect where one is able to create something that materializes in this world, which has meaningful impact because words have meaning, and that might be from your own soul or from your own thinking or from your own imagination or imaginal aspects, and then you're able to share that with everybody else. So if you think of yourself as living in a cartoon, for example, you know, you're living in a cartoon, you know, who sort of created that cartoon, you know, the character of Nico, for example, you know, you're playing a really important, meaningful role, and you're the center of the cartoon or a virtual reality game, as it were. You know, maybe you are acting in a game. And I think what calligraphy helps to do is, for me at least, is it sort of interfaces between me living on this world and also maybe source, you know, where we might have come from or where we might be going. So it has, it sits maybe a little bit outside of what would be like called the matrix, but also in the matrix as well.
Right. Was there a particular sort of event that made you want to pursue calligraphy, or was it just sort of something that felt right as you were growing up?
What's interesting is when I was growing up, I was always interested in art. You know, I always liked to draw things. And what was interesting was that when I used to draw things in school, my table used to be full of other sort of friends and fellow pupils, and they used to watch me draw things, you know. It was really odd because I didn't really see myself as an artist. I didn't see myself as being particularly good at it. My first day at school when I did a painting, I think the teachers were quite old by it. Again, you know, it didn't really register to me that I'm actually good at this. You know, I thought maybe I was good at other things, you know, rather than art. And clearly people like that. But I think when I was younger, one of my uncles from Pakistan visited, and he was an incredible calligrapher. He was a scribe, and he'd scribe books. He was very quiet about it. You know, he didn't make a sort of dance about it. And that really got me into it. When I was around that age, probably seven, maybe six, my mum sort of ordered some calligraphy pens, some special inks and wooden boards that I could sort of practice on. But yeah, my uncle was a scribe, and I think it does help having someone who's a professional and living nearby, or he wasn't sort of living nearby, he came to visit, but I think it helps that when you can see that the power of the genre that you want to go in when you're growing up, I think that's important, even if it stays on the back burner. And for many, many years, it stayed on the back burner. I was always doing calligraphy. I was always, even as a teacher, I do sort of calligraphy extracurricular lessons to teach, sometimes students, mostly students, but also did some courses for teachers as well. But it put me on the back burner. And then about 20 years ago, I thought, let me do this full time.
That's a wonderful story. I just wish we had more time to sit here and talk about it. But that's all we have time for, I'm afraid. Thank you for sharing your experience with us, Razvan.
Thank you, Nico.
And thank you, the audience, for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Unknown Arts Podcast, and I hope you learned something new. My name is Nico. Bye-bye.